Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we want to pick it up where we left off there with the governor, the election there in Virginia, and the governor that they raised at Abigail. And so we're going to pick it up where we left off last night and to show you what, well, just how this how wicked this woman is, how she tried to run, and we all knew better. We all tried to warn people, listen. And so those in Virginia voted for her, and now they're wishing they hadn't, just like those that voted for Mondami, he promised them free, government grocery stores. There are none. He promised them that they would have free buses and free bus rides. They wouldn't be charged to ride a bus. But that's not happening either, because they said there's no money for that, okay? All of these things, all kinds of things he promised them. And what's happening, in fact, even the garbage trucks were not hauling away trash, and with the snow and the garbage that's set out there on the curbs all over the place, they're getting exactly how, people got to be, whenever they're promised a free lunch, somebody's got to pay for the lunch. And they're learning that, and that's what the people of Virginia are learning with their pick of the governor. And so go ahead and take it away, Style.
Let's talk about the attorney general, because this is important context for understanding the team Spanberger has assembled. Jay Jones, Democrat from Norfolk, former delegate, Spanberger's new attorney general. He won his race despite a massive scandal that broke just weeks before the election. Text messages surfaced showing that in 2022, Jones sent violent messages about Republican House Speaker Todd Gilbert, messages referencing the killing of political opponents. His campaign was in crisis. He apologized, but the messages were out there. Everyone saw them. And you know what? He still won. He beat the Republican incumbent, Jason Miaris, by nearly 7 points. The scandal didn't matter. The disturbing texts didn't matter. He had a D next to his name, and in Virginia in 2025, that was enough. This is the man who, on day one, started purging Republican legal counsels from state universities. This is the man who's now the chief law enforcement officer for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Think about that. But wait, I promised you we'd talk about affordability. Because that was Spanberger's big campaign theme, right? Everything was about making life more affordable for Virginia families. So how's that going? Not well. First of all, nearly 400,000 Virginians buy health insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. They've been getting federal subsidies to help pay for those plans. Those subsidies expired in December. Just expired. And premiums are skyrocketing. Spanberger promised to do something about it. She said in her speech to the General Assembly, "Virginia families simply cannot afford to wait for Congress to act, so we are going to act first." Great. How? Well, according to health policy experts, There's no realistic way for a state to backfill that much lost federal funding. The subsidies cost billions of dollars. Virginia doesn't have billions of dollars lying around to replace federal subsidies. So what's the plan? The plan, apparently, is to raise taxes, because that's what Democrats do. They see a problem, and their solution is always the same. Raise taxes, create new government programs, and hope it works out. Meanwhile, Virginia Republicans have proposed actual tax relief. They want to cut taxes to make groceries cheaper, make energy bills cheaper, make life less expensive so families have more money in their wallets, real affordability. But that's not what Democrats want. They want to raise the minimum wage, which will make everything more expensive. They want new sales taxes, which will make everything more expensive. They want to rejoin the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which will make energy more expensive. They want paid leave mandates funded by payroll taxes, which will make employing people more expensive. None of this, none of it makes life more affordable. It makes life more expensive while giving government more power and more money. And then there's the federal situation. Virginia has over 320,000 federal workers, more than any other state except maybe Maryland. The Trump administration has been cutting the federal workforce, trying to reduce wasteful spending and shrink the bureaucracy. There was a government shutdown that lasted 35 days. Virginia's economy is exposed to these federal changes. That's just reality. And Spanberger campaigned on this. She said Trump's policies would hurt Virginia workers. She said she'd stand up for the Commonwealth against federal overreach. But here's the thing. She doesn't have a plan either. She gave a speech about it. She said she will not stand by silently while you attack Virginia's workers. Okay, great. What are you actually going to do? What's your plan to diversify Virginia's economy? What's your plan to make Virginia less dependent on federal employment? There is no plan. There's just rhetoric. There's just posturing. There's just attacking Trump and Republicans while offering no actual solutions. This is the pattern we keep seeing. Big promises during the campaign, bold rhetoric after taking office, and then nothing. No real plans, no real solutions. Just more government, more spending, more taxes, and more partisan warfare. Let me step back for a moment and talk about what this means for Virginia and for the country. Virginia used to be a purple state, a swing state, a place where both parties could compete and win. It was the state that elected Republican governors like Bob McDonnell and Glenn Youngkin in the last 15 years. It was the state that gave Republicans control of the legislature as recently as 2021. But it's changing. Northern Virginia, Fairfax County, Loudoun County, Arlington, Alexandria, these areas have been growing and becoming more Democratic. Federal workers, contractors, consultants, lobbyists, all the people whose livelihoods depend on big government in Washington, they vote Democratic because Democrats promise to keep growing government. It's in their economic interest. And now those areas dominate Virginia politics. In the 2025 election, Democrats didn't just win, they dominated, they swept every statewide race, they flipped Republican districts all over the state. Places that voted for Glenn Youngkin in 2021 voted for Spanberger in 2025. Some counties moved 20 points to the left in just 4 years. 20 points. That's not a normal political shift. That's a realignment. And here's what's terrifying. If Democrats can do this in Virginia, a state that was solidly Republican just 2 decades ago, they can do it anywhere. Virginia is the test case. It's the blueprint. Flood the state with federal workers and government dependents. Promise them more government programs and more spending. Attack Republicans as extremists. Run as moderates in the general election, then govern from the left once you're in office. That's the playbook. And it's working. Some Democrats are already talking about Spanberger as a potential vice presidential candidate in 2028. Maybe even a presidential candidate. though the timing is tricky since Virginia governors can't serve consecutive terms. But the point is, she's being positioned as the future of the Democratic Party. The moderate who can win purple states and then implement the progressive agenda once elected. It's brilliant in a Machiavellian sort of way, and it's devastating for Republicans if we can't figure out how to counter it. So what do we do? How do we fight back? First, we expose what's happening. We tell the truth about what Spanberger is actually doing versus what she promised. We make sure every Virginian knows that they were sold a moderate and got a radical. We document every tax increase, every job-killing regulation, every soft-on-crime policy, every assault on the Second Amendment. We make sure voters connect the dots between their vote in November 2025 and the consequences they're living with now. Second, we hold the line where we can. Virginia Republicans still have 36 seats in the House of Delegates. That's not nothing. We can't stop everything, but we can fight. We can slow things down. We can force Democrats to own their agenda. We can make them take tough votes. We can build a record we can run against in the next election. Third, we focus on the Virginia Senate. Democrats have a very narrow majority there, just one seat, maybe two after the special election. In 2027, all those seats are up again, if we can flip just a couple of seats. We can stop this runaway train. We can force compromise. We can protect Virginia from the worst of the Democratic agenda. And fourth, we need to start now for the next governor's race. Virginia has off-year elections. Remember, the next governor will be elected in 2029. That's only 3 years away. We need a strong candidate. We need someone who can articulate a clear vision for Virginia, someone who can compete in Northern Virginia without abandoning our principles, someone who can unite the Republican coalition and bring back the voters we lost. Because here's the bottom line. What's happening in Virginia right now, this bait and switch, this partisan warfare, this radical agenda disguised as moderation, this is what's at stake everywhere. If we don't stop it in Virginia, it's coming to your state next. The same playbook, the same tactics, the same result. Virginia voters chose this. They voted for Abigail Spanberger. They voted for Democratic control. And now they're getting exactly what they voted for, whether they realized it or not. Higher taxes. More crime, less freedom, more government, a radical agenda that puts partisan politics ahead of the Commonwealth's interests. This is what Virginia voted for, and it's already falling apart. The question now is, will Virginia voters wake up and realize what they've done? Will they see through the moderate mask and recognize the radical reality? Will they hold Democrats accountable for broken promises and failed policies? Or will they double down? Will they convince themselves that more of the same will somehow produce different results? The next few months will tell us a lot. We'll see if these bills pass. We'll see if taxes actually go up. We'll see if crime increases in communities that refuse to cooperate with ICE. We'll see if the Virginia economy suffers under new regulations and mandates. We'll see if health care becomes less affordable despite all the promises. And we'll see if Virginia voters care. Because that's the real test. Not what politicians say or do, but whether voters hold them accountable for it. I hope they do. For Virginia's sake. For the sake of the constitutional republic we're supposed to be. For the sake of proving that you can't just lie your way into office and govern however you want without consequences. But I'm not optimistic. Because if there's one thing we've learned in recent years, it's that voters have short memories. They get angry, but then they move on. They complain about politicians, but then they vote for them anyway. They say they want change, but then they reward the status quo. Virginia just gave Democrats a supermajority. Total control, unchecked power, and Democrats are using that power exactly as you'd expect. To pursue their agenda, reward their allies, punish their enemies, and transform Virginia into the progressive utopia they've always wanted. This is what Virginia voted for. God help the Commonwealth. And God help us all if this becomes the model for the rest of America.
All righty. We warned them. We really did. We talked in style. I don't know if you remember, but we over and over and told people out there and warned them in that they didn't pay any attention. You know, so not only that, but, you know, they were running ads showing you how she had voted on things in the past and statements that she had said. It was all right there, and those people knowing, just like the Attorney General, they know this guy was talking about, you know, his opponent having killing his opponent and killing his whole family. So now the people of Virginia, the voters, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. The only problem I have is with election fraud, where you have people that did vote the right way and their votes were stolen from them, and they end up suffering because of those that stole their votes. That's a problem I have. So you know what I think we'll do? I think we'll open the phone lines to take calls. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. No one saw that coming. Critics pan millennia with abysmal score. But Americans love First Lady film, giving it an astonishing rating. Palm Beach, Florida. The new film, Millennia, which scored the best box office opening for a documentary in more than a decade with $8 million, apparently has a huge disconnect between professional critics and the regular American people. Yeah, of course, the Hollywood critics all said the film was a failure, but it looks like it set a record. The viewing public is raving about the movie that details the 20 days in the First Lady's life before President Donald Trump took office for his second term, giving the film an astonishing 99% approval on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, however, dissed the film, preferring to score it with just 11%. I mean, these people are shameful. I mean, they're absolutely shameful, aren't they? Anyhow, Clay Travis, founder of Outkick, was asked Sunday by Jacques Henrich of the news why the disparity between professional film critics and the public. I kind of think that's a little bit obvious, don't we? Because critics hate Donald Trump, Travis said. He could have made Citizen Kane, and they could have made The Godfather Part 1 or 2. But if Donald Trump were affiliated, it would have gotten a 10% approval. The flip side, the fans, the actual humans that go to see the movies, are Trump fans. And I heard the movie is good. I have not seen it yet. But congrats to Melania, the president, and the president. That's a tremendous success to have the level of revenue coming in for a documentary. That is, regarding the box office take of at least $8 million, The Hollywood Report noted, no one saw that coming, with many suggesting Millennia was a bomb before it even opened, based on empty or nearly empty seat maps in cinemas across the country. I don't go to the movies very often. I did go with my son and grandson a while back. Oh, my wife was with us too. I don't know. Style, do you think movie attendance, from what I saw, it's different than what it used to be. We used to have one movie house, and they would be showing maybe two movies in a day, showing one in the afternoon and one in the evening. Today you go in there might be five, six, seven more theaters. But when I was in there, There was hardly anybody in the theaters. I mean, in all of them.
I think it's on a, not on a major level by any means, but I do think it has a slight resurgence coming back to going in-person theater. I know my wife and I try to make it a habit every few months to go out and go to a movie, but I think the real issue is just the subject matter and the content that's coming out is not really driving people to the theaters more often than not.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing that you say that, because the films that that are good, clean, and wholesome films, they make more money. Hollywood would rather actually lose money to make a politically communistic, anti-Christ film. And that's just Hollywood, isn't it? All right. Who do we have?
We have Carolyn in Illinois.
Carolyn in Illinois. I was hoping she'd call. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. I'm sure you were hoping I'd call. I'm calling because I do not believe Virginia's vote for governor was legal. And I believe that's happening a lot. And I don't know what to do about it, but they said she only won by 15. I do not believe that. I'm sorry. I believe we're being lied to. And the people of Virginia are not happy, I'm sure. So, well, anyway, that's why I'm calling.
Yeah, well, whoever's in charge of the election, look, Democrats will always cheat an election. I mean, it's a part of their culture now. It's just a part of their culture. I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty or to be hateful, but it just is. I mean, that's just reality. This is why they don't want to have IDs. They don't want to have photo IDs. Now, you have to have a photo ID for everything else. You have to have one. You know, even when you go to the bank and you want to know the balance in your account, you have to show them a photo ID. Going to the prisons for years, even though I knew the guards in there, everybody in there, I still had to show them my photo ID, even though they knew who I was. Okay, and all, you know, and they say, well, somehow it's too hard on black people to get photo IDs. Well, I don't think that the black people are that stupid, because for a fact, I saw a lot of friends of mine that are black. They all have photo IDs. They have driver's license. And, you know, but that's the communist, anti-Christ communist union palaver that's out there. But you're absolutely right. Yeah. I have a feeling you're right. I have a bad feeling that there was a lot of election fraud in Virginia.
Yes, I believe that too. And is there a way that the people of Virginia can check?
Well, there are people that are looking into it, okay, but it's kind of after the fact right now. But yeah, there's all across the country, they're still checking. Remember, everything we told you about the 2020 election is coming out. All of that's why they're in such a panic. In fact, they've already found enough votes, fraudulent votes. You know, when you vote, you have to sign your ballot. You have to sign it, you know. Mm-hmm. They've already had enough fraudulent votes there. You know, I'm talking about the mail-in ballots, that to overturn that election, you know, the 2020 election. And they keep finding more and more. It was as fraudulent can be.
Yes.
And you know, the worst part was, remember when they flipped it, they turned it right while we were watching the elections. And then in Georgia, when Trump was way ahead of there, and all of a sudden, right there in front of us on the screen, they inverted.
Yep,
they gave Biden Trump's
it.
Votes. Yeah. A lot of us saw it. But you had Brett Baer and say, I'm not going to let Brett Baer forget about this, because when he was challenged on this, he took a hard stand. There was no evidence. In other words, telling us, who are you going to believe, him or our lying eyes? when we watched it happen right before our eyes.
Yes.
So.
I agree, and I believe we need to check the to see whether these people who are representing us are legal citizens of the United States of America. I would like to see that done.
Like Omar?
Get rid of,
like,
yes.
Yeah. Like Omar, for example, yeah. And a number of them. Well, you know, Obama had four different Social Security numbers. He had he went by several different names. And I don't believe he was ever a U.S. citizen.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think that's true of many of our representatives, sadly to say, and our judges and a lot of other people who think they are running our country. And we need to check those things and get rid of them. And once we get rid of them, they shouldn't even be there. Once we get rid of them, a lot of our problems will be solved.
Well, you know, I think what he's doing is the right thing. Going after, first of all, look, you know, they did, these illegals did horrible, horrible things that they were brought in here. And, you know, they set two women on fire on the trains, let them burn to death, and people just stood there and watched. They cut the throats of these young ladies on there. They attacked elderly people and stabbed and beat. They pushed people on the tracks in front of trains. They molested and raped a number of young girls. And here, those are the ones that, that they need to go after, and they have been going after first. And this way, and it's like the Democrats, you know, they'll always stick up for the criminal over the victim. Always stand up. Just like I was talking about earlier. Here, that woman that was out there doing that, asking, you know, polling these women, asking them, she showed them. These are the young women that were murdered, raped and murdered. These are the rapists. Will you say that these illegals, will you say that they should be brought to justice? Do you say that they should be either, you know, sent back out of the country? And not one of those Democratic women, the anti-ICE people out there, would condemn or say that any of those rapists or murderers did anything wrong.
Which makes you wonder, why are they being paid?
Well, yeah, we know that a number of them, yeah,
being paid.
Yeah, well, we know a number of them are being paid. Yeah,
and were they compromised in some way and are being paid off big bucks?
I think that's got a lot to do with it, but there's a mental thing there. There's a mental problem there with these people. The indoctrination of these women, there's a lot of hatred, a lot of anger. They're filled with anger, and you can tell their anger is toward God and men and authority.
Yes.
I don't know what the idea is. Today, now, by going with blue hair, it seems a lot of them now, more and more of them, are dyeing their hair blue. And it's like some kind of a sign or, you know, it's like a, you know, like a gang wearing their colors. I don't know what you know, where this comes from, but
right.
But there's something there. Look, you got these are the same women that go out into the forest and scream at trees. They spend the whole weekend screaming at trees, okay? These are the same women that don't know what a woman is, right?
Right. But that's why Jesus told us to pray for them. And that's what we need to be doing right now. That's our first step. When we take that step, he'll take over.
Well, yeah, you need to pray that they repent or perish. That you know, you pray for them to repent. This way, we say here on this radio program all the time, we don't hate them. They hate us, but we don't hate them because we know what their future is. We feel sorry for them, but their rebellion. I mean, the rebellion is just unbelievable, and so. But anyhow,
just like anybody who doesn't know the Lord, and that's why we do what Jesus said.
Well, it's not only that they don't know the Lord, they hate God. The Bible says all of those that hate God love death, and they love death. They love death in any way they can come. But I have to move on because we're up against a hard break. But thanks for calling. We'll be right back. On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she received the light. Two souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to use it, not just the pieces. Don't run or walk away, there's nowhere to run. You had your blessing.
Use it while you're able.
Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I will separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finished preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb. Knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him, not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You've got to know how to please him.
Not just to please him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul. Wow, you know, I'm sitting here looking out the window at the snow out there on the railings, and that song brings back, because that's a true song. That's a true song, what happened. There was some years ago, I've talked about this, but I was there down on Blood Alley, Shaker Boulevard, over there, and it was early in the morning. It was still dark out. Snow was coming down. The snow was probably 5-6 inches on sidewalk, and I looked way down the sidewalk. There was nobody on the sidewalks. It was still dark, but I saw this woman, and the lights behind her, there at the rapid, you could see her walking, and there was this, like a dark error, a black shadow around her. It was, and I saw it as a shadow of death, and as she was walking up, she got closer to me. I said to her, "You came to kill your baby, didn't you?" And she stopped and she looked and she said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because they said it would be born without a brain." I'll never forget that. And I said, "Oh," she was a white woman. And I said, "So the father was a black man." She said, "Well, how did you know?" I said, "They tell that to all the white women. Then they have another story for the black women who have, I mean, they, that's just what they do here." And anyhow, so I gave her the gospel. I asked her, I said, "Listen, if you go in there to kill your baby, there's a good chance that you could die too." Well, it happens all the time. And I said, "If you died today, where would you spend eternity?" And she said, "I'd probably go to hell, huh?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "What are you going to do about it?" She said, what do I do?" And I told her, I didn't tell her to get it. I said, "Here, take my hand and pray." She got on her knees right there on that snow and that sidewalk and asked the Lord Jesus to be her Lord of her life. And her baby turned out to be perfectly normal. And she named him Adam. And she sent me his pictures and everything. So, anyhow, let's go to, we have a, who did you say we have here in Cleveland?
We have Steve in Cleveland.
Steve. Oh, it's Steve. Hey, Steve. Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, somebody, or yourself is what I'm referring to. Sometimes if you say you have a senior moment, you still got one heck of a memory. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a difference there, because your stories are word for word. I've been listening to them for 20 years, but they never get boring because you are one unbelievable person. But wanted to tell you that Trump was talking today, and they mentioned, I don't know who it was, maybe somebody from CNN, and they said something about Epstein. Goes, I don't really want to talk about that anymore. And then on the news, Bannon and Alex Jones, whatever they're saying, this is the part where Trump can just get him. And what is he saying? It's like, it's like kill time, and he's just passing up an opportunity. But I put something together. If anybody wants to go on YouTube, him and his granddaughter, Kai, it's about 3 months old, a little over an hour, but they're just riding around playing golf. And you hear him talking as a normal person, and he says something about this and that. Yeah, you're clean, or it's 660 feet. He says, he said something about the White House. He goes, I stopped 7 wars. And I mean, the man is just talking like a normal person with no ego at all. But he doesn't want to talk about Epstein anymore. He just wants to get on.
Well, it's obvious that they're using this, just like they're doing with the Minnesota, with the blue-haired screamers out there. It's a distraction. Yeah. It's to deflect from the good things that he's doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also because the investigations all across the country about the fraud, this is jail time, and they don't want people looking and seeing all that. They want to keep that out of the news if they can.
Well, he has 160-something IQ, and he has 13 buildings, which I think would be, 50 stories or 40, whatever they are, the Trump buildings, and 17 golf courses. And he's talking to Kai, and he goes, that's like the course over there we have in Scotland. And that man knows his courses. He just knows everything. He knows his mind. When he looks at things, he's not looking at a neighborhood like somebody. My joke is if we had YouTube when we were young, we wouldn't be talking about houses and homeless men. We'd be talking about what apartment complexes would we be building next. I mean, it's a source of real information, and you can really get to really see there's so many liberals on there, but you have to look for the right stuff on there, and it just shows up, and you look at this and that, but if you just read the little things, even from the cops and everything, but the liberals on there, they just do whatever they can do for the cops, and it doesn't, it just shows who they are. But Trump comes on and he's as smooth as can be. He's driving the ball 220 yards, and he's really something. And he's, and if anyone ever said, you never met the man. I mean, when you're sitting there with him, he's the nicest guy and so-and-so. And there's going to be something changing real soon.
Well, he knows how to communicate. He knows how to communicate
with
a common man and out there. And they hate him because he's actually doing what he says. And I remember, you know, after he was elected in 2016, somebody had recorded these senators talking, and they were complaining if he keeps keeping his promises, they're going to expect all of us to do that. And that was, I'm trying to remember who that was, but anyhow.
I just want to tell, for anybody who has a senior moment, you just remembered something else there. You've got no notes. It's all in your head. So you're doing just fine.
Yep. Well, all right. Thanks, Steve. I got to move on to, we have Anthony, did you say?
Tony and Avon.
Hey, Tony, you're in the air.
Yeah, Tony from Avon Lake. Well, I have one of my nieces graduated from the University of Virginia. And the whole thing behind the crazies, satanic influence, and about the Virginia election, according to law, they're supposed to keep those, you know, records for like 2 years. So maybe the Republicans, whatever Republicans are in Virginia right now, they ought to step up and declare an audit of that election.
Well, they should. You're right. But the Democrats, all those that voted for her, they're going to get a huge tax increase, and they deserve it. They deserve it. But anyhow,
well,
all those
people will wake up.
Well, you can't, you know, we can't count on them waking up because historically they've stayed dumb during the midterms. And that's why we're here. We have to try to encourage them and, you know, be the watchman on the wall, warn them.
That's right.
What's coming. We're trying. There's the opposition has got, there's tons and tons of foreign money pumping into this country and coming from all these other countries, coming from Mexico, coming from China, coming from Russia, coming from all over. It's foreign money, and it's going out there. This is to, you're having these young kids in the high schools walking out, protesting ICE. This is communism. There's a communist revolution.
Amen to that.
But what's happened is, so many people are so conditioned. Like I heard a guy say, well, if that was true, it'd be on the news. He's so conditioned to believing what he says on the news. And then you say, you mean to tell me you actually believe what you hear on NBC, ABC, CBS? Oh, of course not. But what did he just say? If that was true, it'd be on the news, didn't he?
Yep.
So there you go. That's the mindset. All right. Thanks, Tony.
All right. Take care, Pastor. Keep fighting the fight.
You do the same. We always got to keep fighting the fight. All righty. We got calls. Time for maybe one more call or two. So should we give them a minute to call one more call?
Go ahead and give them a minute.
Okay. First Amendment liberties. City sponsors Christian flag, gets reminded about, city censors Christian flag, gets reminded about Supreme Court ruling. Officials in New Jersey, repeatedly have imposed their own censorship scheme on organizations wanting permission, as other groups already have been granted, to fly their flag. a Christian flag at a city flagpole, and they're getting reminded about a Supreme Court precedent on that very topic. Here you go. You've got Jersey City. You've got a bunch of communists living there. It's Liberty Counsel, which won the Shurtleff versus City of Boston flag flying fight in 2022 at the Supreme Court, and said it is now has written to Jersey City officials to remind them about what it is and what is not allowed. I want to wanted to say this. You know, Style, have you ever heard, maybe not your age, you haven't heard too much, but when you've been married as long as I have, wives have a tendency to say, you men, you'll never admit that you're lost. You won't ask for directions. Have you ever heard that?
I have heard that.
Yeah. And well, there's some truth to that, okay? And I know when my wife says, why don't you just admit it? You don't know where you're at. And I said, of course I know where I'm at. I'm right here with you. And then you get the rolling of the eyes. The other thing that they like to say is, you don't read the instructions. You always have to read the instructions before you put something together, you know? I remember, you know, getting all those, I'd have to get up, we'd get some of the toys in Christmas, and you wanted the kids to come down and see them, so you'd stay up late and put them together at night, you know, when they weren't around. And, you know, when you put something together and you have a bunch of parts left over, maybe you should have read the instructions, huh?
No, those are just the extra parts. Don't worry about it.
But anyhow, but there's one thing that really applies to, and that's the Word of God. In the Word of God, you really need to read the instructions. Because that Bible, that Word of God, the greatest source of information, the ultimate, absolute, ultimate authority, it's got in there the instructions for life, the instructions to live a good life, how to leave this world and continue living forever. It's in there. It's the instruction manual. But very few people read the instruction manual of life. They just kind of go on, taking it one day at a time. And I remember hearing this young guy saying, I want to live hard, live fast, die young, and leave a good corpse, a good-looking corpse. And of course, all the other young and dumb, you know, applauded that. But that was really a stupid thing to say, okay? When you die unsaved, it doesn't end well. But anyhow, my friend, I'm asking you the most important question of your life. Your joy, your sorrow, for all of eternity depends upon your answer. The question is, are you saved? It's not a question of how good you are or if you're a church member, but are you saved? Are you sure that you will go to heaven when you die? That's why I always ask people to make your salvation sure. God says in order to go to heaven, you must be born again, John 3:7. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, folks. Born once, die twice. Born twice, born, you die once. In the Bible, God gives us the plan on how to be born again, which means to be saved. His plan is simple. You can be saved today. That's right. If you're out there listening and you don't know, you should always do what we're going about to tell you to do. First, my friend, you must realize that you're a sinner and that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. We've said this time and time. Because you are a sinner, you are condemned to death. For the wages of sin is death. Now, remember what I'm telling you. This is from the Word of God. This is absolute. This is absolute. It's going to happen. God enforces this. But because you are a sinner, you're condemned to death. For the wages of sin are death. Romans 6:23. This includes eternal separation from God in hell. It's appointed to men once to die, then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. But God so loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to bear your sin and die in your place. He had made him sin. He had made him sin for us. To be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus had to shed his blood and die, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. That means there's no pardon. Hebrews 9:22. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And although we cannot understand how, God said, my sins and your sins were laid upon Jesus, and he died in our place. He became our substitute. It is true. God cannot lie, my friend. God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. This repentance is a change of mind that agrees with God that one is a sinner and also agrees what Jesus did for us at the cross. In Acts 16:30 and 31, a Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Simply believe on him as the one who bore your sins, died in your place, and was buried, and whom God resurrected. His resurrection powerfully assures us that the believer can claim everlasting life when Jesus is received as a Savior. So as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm reading the scripture, folks, because this is the absolute authority. This is the manual. This is for real. This is for real. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever includes you, shall be saved means not maybe, nor can be, but shall be. Surely you realize you're a sinner. Right now, wherever you are, repenting, lift your heart to God in prayer. In Luke 18:13, the sinner prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just pray, oh God, and just repeat after me, folks, if you will, if you're out there listening. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus was my substitute when he died on the cross. I believe he shed his blood. Death and burial and resurrection were for me. I now receive him as my Savior. I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins, the gift of salvation, and the everlasting life. Because of your merciful grace, amen. Now just take God at his word and claim his salvation by faith. Believe, and you will be saved. No church, no lodge, no good works can save you. Remember, God does the saving, all of it. God's simple plan of salvation is, you're a sinner, therefore unless you believe on Jesus who died in your place, you will spend eternity in hell. That's for real, folks. If you believe on him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, you receive forgiveness for all of your sins and his gift of eternal salvation by faith. You say, surely, I cannot be that simple. Yes, it's that simple. It's scriptural. It's God's plan. My friend, believe on Jesus and receive him as the Savior today. If his plan is not perfectly clear, folks, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and read it. We're running out of time for tonight, so as we say every night at this time, thanks for being here. God bless. Good night. And always, 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 are you ready, Style? Let's do it. Keep fighting the fight. Fight, 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 fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.